You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
Have I mentioned this to you guys before? How, whenever I'm doing something really fun in life, like maybe I'm on a vacation or a trip, or I'm just in a brief moment of where everything just feels perfect, I don't think of astrology. I don't wonder what sign the moon is in or if we're in an eclipse tunnel, or I don't think of it. And so while I absolutely passionately love astrology as a self-discovery tool, I get wary of using it for predictive stuff. I've noticed that I really turn to astrology when I'm low, when I'm going through a difficult time, when I'm confused and I'm scared and I feel out of control of my life. I will turn to, let me see what sign the moon is in. Are we in an eclipse? What part of my chart is this eclipsing? Like, holy shit. And as someone who has made herself a job and a career in the spirituality self-help industry, I understand the power I have that when people come to me, they're normally not doing fine and dandy and life is perfect and going how they want it to, right? I mean, life is never going to be like that consistently as much as we would like it to be. But I know that when people come to me for my services, they are really in need of help. They're not, some of them are completely flat and broken. Others are just really confused and scared, but they're in these vulnerable states where any word and every word that comes out of my mouth has the weight of the world in it and power, lots of power. So I just wanted to preface this episode about the eclipse season with that. I think a lot of people who are pressing play on this and downloading it to listen to may find themselves in a time of life where they're confused and they're scared and they're unsure. And our ego and our brains as human beings do not like that. We do not like the free fall. We want to be in full control of the steering wheel of life and know where we're going, with who, and what to expect. So everything I'm about to say should be used as a guide, as a simple reminder of who you are and where you're going, and also a reminder that none of us know where we are or where we're going. We're all free-falling in this game of life. I have this weird ability that I'll share with you guys that I was just able to put words to yesterday in my mind. But I thought, I go through shit just like you. I get confused about love and relationships. I mourn the loss of friends and I'm scared to make new ones. As you listened to last episode we recorded, I talked about being a mom. That was scary because some people think, oh my God, this girl is desperate to have a baby. Let me tell you, once I do reach that point and I can share the entirety of my motherhood fertility journey, you will be very shocked and surprised. But I have this ability where I'm able to wake up in my pain and look around and see everybody else at their desk with their head down going through their pain and their journey. And I'm able to say, hey, wait. Like, we're all going through this. Lift your head up and just take a deep breath. It's almost like when you're having a really bad dream and you're in the dream and you can tell yourself, like, thank God this is just a dream. I'm going to wake up soon. Have you ever had one of those where there's something just so scary or anxiety inducing going on in your dream, but you know it's just a dream and that you're going to wake up from it? I have those feelings in my waking day to day when I'm just lost in my sauce of pain and anxiety and fear. I'm able to have these glimmering moments where I'm like, wait, we're all going through this together. And this makes me bond and enjoy the people I'm around and the people I get to serve and help. Of course, I think I go right back to putting my head down and getting through my shit, but I'm able to have these weird glimmering moments of, wait, hey, this is all just a game. This is all just the game of life that we're all going through together, and it's okay. And sometimes it sucks, but sometimes it's good. So let's talk about this eclipse. First of all, with eclipses, you'll see a lot of things on social media, everywhere you go, all the books you read, that kind of paint them out to be scary. Now, as I was saying, we like to be in control. We like to know what's coming, how to prepare for it, and let these things slide off of our back. So when you see things, especially for very sensitive people like myself, and maybe you listening to this too, when we see things on social media that say, sudden change, eclipsing people out of your life, our sensitive souls go, oh my God, I can't do this again. This, when people leave eclipse out of my life, I dive into the depths of heartbreak and it lasts a really long time and sometimes doesn't go away. I just have to learn to live with it. And then things changing. Oh my gosh, change is so scary for people who are so sensitive. And so while I love and appreciate all the astrologers I follow who share things like this, there's also a piece of me that's like, no, don't do this. You know? And so do eclipses mean change? Yes. But guess what? There's like 4 eclipses every single year. We've gone through it since you were born. There's eclipses all the time. And it breaks my heart when people are like, dang it, I planned my wedding. I didn't know there was an eclipse. I'm just like, I know. I get it. This astrology stuff can be a lot. It can be great. But again, it's just another way that we're trying to control our fate and our destiny when really it should just be a, hey, looks like it might rain this weekend. You can still go and pack your rain gear and dance in the rain and enjoy it. Have a good story to tell. Or you can decide to wait until the following weekend. That's what astrology predictions should be used for. Eclipses are a time of change. And our ancestors, when there was an eclipse in the sky, like the sun moving over the moon or vice versa, can you imagine how scary that was to see that? Like the sun, the sky, the stars, the clouds, the wind, this is how they took control of their lives. They worked with the patterns of weather and the stars and the sun and the moon. This isn't hippie woo-woo shit. This is real. They use that. So we can imagine how afraid they were when they saw the sun, their source of heat, light, warmth, growth for food, being covered. Holy shit. And so when you Google it and you read other things about the eclipse being a time of bad luck, that's all that stems from, is that our ancestors in the past were like, holy shit, like the devil's covering our source of light, the sun, our source of life. We're all going to die together now. So it was a time of bad luck or scary things, don't do things. Can that feeling and that energy be carried over into today? Of course. Of course it can, right? Energy and the collective energy of things is so powerful. But do you have a chance to rewrite how you feel about something, especially in today's day and age? Yes, you do. And so eclipse season can be exciting, and yes, I'm so excited for this eclipse tunnel. Or can it be, oh no, not another time of rapid change, and am I going to get a divorce? Am I going to lose the baby I'm carrying? Am I going to, you know, it just gets too much. So remember your power. Remember your power in being able to create the life you want. See things how you want. This is why it's so important to step away from social media. I talk about how in my 20s, I was so isolated, but that was self-inflicted. I had every chance in the world. I'm a Sagittarius. People flocked to me and I flocked to them. I love it. But I just knew, like, I am sensitive. I have a really different journey I'm taking in this lifetime. I need to step away from all influential energies. Step away from social media, step away from socialization, and just be with myself. For years it went on until I finally said, okay, it's time. I just knew. So eclipse season is a time of change. And again, it happens 4 times a year, so it's nothing to be afraid of. I'm excited for it. I like to make change because if you're not evolving, you're dying. If you're not evolving and changing, the number one regret of the dying is not changing into who they wanted to really be. It's not changing their thoughts into believing that what I really wanted to do was really achievable for me. So eclipses are incredible and awesome and help us move towards the things we truly want, but sometimes we're too afraid to. You know, on our astrology Instagram at cosmic_coconut, we did a Q&A last night of, hey, what's coming up with this eclipse season for you? What are some things, some questions on your heart? And a lot of people said, I want change. I'm craving a baby. I'm craving a dog. I'm craving a partner. This was huge. I'm craving a huge life partner. Other people said, I'm craving a separation from my partner that I don't know how to do. Right? There's these things in our life that we want so bad, but we talk ourselves out of it. Whether it's, oh, I want a baby, but oh, I love to sleep. Oh man, I really want a dog, but how will I find someone to watch it while I'm at work? We talk ourselves out of these things. And the eclipse is like our big brother or sister that says, you are so funny. You think you can't have this? You think you can't have a career you love making $10,000 minimum a month? You're so silly. And they push us into the water and then we cliff dive and we're like, wait, I'm in the water and I'm swimming and it's warm and it's not so bad. I want to do it again. Like that fire sign friend that says, come on, let's go on the roller coaster. And you're like, no, fuck no. That thing goes upside down. No chance. But then they talk you into it and your hands are in the air and you're safe and you're happy and you're laughing and you're screaming and you're releasing energy. And then before you know it, you're back in the loading dock and you're like, I want to go on that again. And I want to go on the front. That to me is my interpretation of eclipse season. A little push, a little nudge from the universe, the big brother, big sister that is the stars and the cosmos, to do something that we know we're meant to do. We know our heart wants it so bad. We just need a little nudge. So we have a solar eclipse coming on October 25th, and this will be at 2 degrees Scorpio. So for all my astrology buffs, look at placements that are in conjunction with 2 degrees Scorpio or any planets in your big three, especially that are in Scorpio. I have my moon in Scorpio. My partner JL has his moon in Scorpio. Oh, we're ready for it. I actually think JL's moon is 2 degrees Scorpio. So this is going to be an outer change with a solar eclipse. Something external could change and it could be so subtle that you don't even recognize it. But this is a new moon in Scorpio, and normally we astrologers teach new moon, new manifestations. This time, I don't want you to manifest. I don't want you to write things down. I don't want you to have any new moon rituals. What I want you to do is live. So using JL and I as an example, we have our moons in Scorpio. Our hearts are set on specific things right now, like living in the mountains. His heart is set on becoming a motivational speaker and a coach. My heart is set on continuing offering astrology teachings to help people find themselves again, rediscover themselves. But an outer change may affect where our hearts are at, right? We don't know what this will be. Could it be something scary? Sure. Could it be something incredible? Oh, yeah, of course. We're open to it and we're accepting and we're ready to just enjoy whatever it may be. So that solar eclipse is coming up on October 25th. Relax, get in tune with your heart, see where you're at, what you love, and just go be. Stay off social media that day. Go be by yourself if you want to. Just enjoy the dark sky that day and going into your psyche. Using JL and I as an example, again, it's ruling our moon sign. We both have Scorpio moons. And so this could be a time where him and I maybe spend time apart that day, away from each other, and really work on what thoughts do I tell myself about my relationship that I could really change to change this outward story of us. Does that make sense? Then we have a lunar eclipse on November 8th at 15 degrees Taurus. So again, anyone listening to this with Taurus planets, especially ones that are between 12 to 18 degrees Taurus, this is going to be big for you and you'll probably feel it more than other people who don't have Scorpio or Taurus placements. So picture eclipse seasons as a portal, as a tunnel, right? They're all 2 weeks long. So this one is from October 25th until November 8th. This is a portal. So October 25th, we are stepping into this black hole. I'll call it a rainbow hole. Black has a negative connotation to it, right? A rainbow hole. We're stepping into it and it's all tie-dye and beautiful and lit up. And we're like, whoa, what is going on? And sometimes we're so focused on this is beautiful. Whoa, can I touch that? That we end up getting out of the tunnel and we don't even know what happened, but we're completely different. We are so changed. So November 8th is when we finally step out of that portal and go, whew, dust our shoulders off. Wow, what just happened? Everything's different. Now, for some people, you may not notice. You can look back at the last time this happened, which was late April to mid-May, and be like, well, nothing really happened. I know for me, back then, it was when we were really getting settled into this home. JL and I have been living out of a motorhome and Airbnbs for 2 years. So the last eclipse tunnel we had was him and I just nesting and feeling like, wow, this is really cool to have a permanent space to plant roots. We had things come up with his boys that was good, really good things. And I actually started to go to the doctors to get a fertility checkup. So could this be a part two to that? Sure. But it again, back then it was very subtle changes, even though it was affecting our moon. Subtle yet big. So the lunar eclipse is more of an internal change. November 8th at 15 degrees Taurus. If you have any Scorpio or especially Taurus placements, November 8th is when you finally look in the mirror and say, wait, I have changed so much. And so for those listening to this who have Scorpio or Taurus in their big three, or maybe you don't, think back to all the way back last November, because this is when we also had a big eclipse in Taurus. What was coming up for you then? Anything? Big? Small? And don't just think surface level like, I met a new partner, or I bought a new house. Go deeper. Why did you buy a new house? Why did you choose that neighborhood? When you met this new partner, where were you at in life that attracted them to you? Think deeper. And then the last time we had this same nodal or this axis, Scorpio Taurus axis eclipse, was 2014. That entire year, what came up for you? I know for me, that was the first year that I experienced marriage. And boy, is there a lot to talk about. So there's how you can see what might be coming in store, because, oh boy, do we love to be in control, right? So as I'm saying in my notes here, we have eclipses every year. They are nothing to fear. They help us make changes. They are truly happening for us, not to us. And so if you've been feeling stagnant, you're like, okay, I'm ready. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Eclipses can be your best friend because they can finally say, hey, let me help you. A good thing. So to figure out what area of life this eclipse is happening for you, you look to the houses, those little pie slices on your birth chart, and see which ones Scorpio and Taurus rule. That house has been collecting dust and needs a good deep cleaning. Again, if you guys keep up with these podcast episodes, you can totally see how this has been affecting me. So using myself as an example, this Taurus and Scorpio is affecting my first house of self and my seventh house of marriage and partnership. In 2014, again, that was my first year of being married, and saving you an hour of conversation, it was hard. It was incredibly hard. That is when I started intensive therapy, couples therapy, and I didn't know what I was doing. I felt so lost. I remember going to my therapist that year and saying, how do you be married? What do you do? What is it like? I don't know. I have never seen a married person in my life. I don't know what I'm doing. And worked through a lot of demons to figure out how do I be a good partner in marriage, but how do I not lose my individuality first house in my partnership? And then this year, as you guys have been listening to a couple episodes earlier, I talked about how being with JL has been the most challenging thing for me in a good way. Challenging is not bad. Challenging in that this is real love. This is what love is supposed to feel like. And to me, it's so foreign. It's so uncomfortable. It's making me really grow and stretch into dimensions that no one in my lineage has ever been in. And it's terrifying. I'm a human too, with an ego and a brain. I want to stay where it's comfortable. But comfortable always makes me feel like something is missing. Comfortable doesn't stretch my soul and help me grow and feel so good that I overcame things. JL and my love for him, with him, it does that. And so again, it was probably one of the most challenging years for our relationship, one of the best yet most challenging since November. And so much has shifted and changed that JL and I are finally being dropped in a position where it's like, wow, whoo, we did it. We're proud. We've overcome things. We did it. Yay. We are strong. And so again, that first and seventh house is being activated in the same way that it was in 2014. But these houses, you know, I've been going through all the other houses, the second, third, fourth, eighth, ninth. But my house of self and marriage has been collecting dust. And so this eclipse season was like, all right, Steph, we need to come do a deep cleaning of, are you being an individual or are you losing yourself in partnership? Are you repeating the same mistakes that got you to a divorce? Or can we rewire and retrain your brain to welcome in a healthy partnership, that healthy partnership that you have invested so much time, heart, soul, energy, invested so many difficult decisions to get to a relationship like this? We want what's best for you, says the eclipse season. So let's go deep clean this area of life. If it's ruling your second and eighth house, you're working on your self-value in your relationship to money. If it's hitting your third and ninth house, you're working on completely rewiring your beliefs and showing up and sharing them loud and proud. If it's working your fourth and 10th house, what's going on with home and career? Have you been giving too much at home and not stepping up to your highest potential? Or this could be an axis between mother and father. Have you been healing those wounds? If it's hitting off your fifth and your 11th house, are you ready to drop the ego and work with groups of people? Are you ready to show your creative talents to the world? This could also manifest as, how do I want to really raise my children, 5th and 11th house? Do I want to homeschool them and pull them out of public school? That's this axis. If it's hitting your 6th and 12th house, this is a deep one. This is, how can I change my subconscious thoughts, my demons that have been running the show too much and affecting my physical health, affecting my day-to-day routine? How can I get rid of those and uproot them, or turn around and face them, give them a big hug and say, hey, let's work together to create a good life, a good day-to-day life that I feel safe and rooted in. This is also your physical health, this axis. So this could be incredible revelations to heal that. So on and so forth. And again, you guys know, if you want a personal reading with me where we can dive into this one-on-one and really work through this eclipse season, if it's been dragging you through the ringer, lightworkers-lounge.com. Use code gratitude as a podcast listener for a little discount. So I wrote in my notes here, if you have planets in Scorpio or Taurus, you are moving furniture and completely remodeling, like demolition, that house. If you don't, then it's just a light dusting, right? When you walk into your house, you're like, oh, the windowsills are really clean. You barely even notice it. If you don't have planets yet, things are getting cleaned. So all of my Scorpio Taurus people, you guys, I'm a Sagittarius with a Scorpio moon Taurus rising. Have you not seen me just completely transform over the past year? Right? I'm talking about being a mom way more. I'm talking about throwing my sage sticks away. What? Massive change over here. Thank you guys for rocking with me, for sticking with me through it all and my growth and my change. It has been a lot, but a lot that I'm really loving and appreciating. So what is my advice with this eclipse season overall? My advice for anyone with Taurus and Scorpio and the big three is book a reading with me so we can talk about what's going on, feel through it, process it. And my advice for people who don't have it is just simple. Relax, enjoy, go with the flow. Don't start or launch anything new. I don't suggest that during this 2-week portal. Take a break from social media and the news during this. You may even find that your psyche is just naturally not picking up the Instagram app. You just don't want to be on it. Try and really sit with your own energy to process this stuff and slow down on the self-development during this eclipse period. I mean, really, just be. When you wake up, what do you feel like having for a beverage? Have it. I mean, I say this with a fine line. Don't go drink a peppermint mocha doka with a covered in whipped cream and unhealthy things, but just go and enjoy. Go with the flow of your heart, with what feels good. Don't call yourself lazy. Don't think you're falling behind. Don't think that things aren't going on behind the scenes while you slowly enjoy a coconut milk latte and just look at the sky and take in the view. Right? Just enjoy and just be and let what's going to happen, happen. And then you can decide what's next from there. But overall, take a break from social media. Really sit with your own energy so you can decide who is deciding this for me. Is this me or is this someone else? This is very important with eclipse energy. Some journal prompts that I came up with are, what are some changes I've noticed since last November? Has there been changes in my friends group? Has there been changes in just the way I view my partner and my relationship? Are there some changes that I felt in terms of my career that, hey, I'm worth more? Or, hey, I love this job. My work family is the best, but I'm ready for more. What has changed since last November? If changes lately feel uncomfortable, is it because this healthy feeling is unfamiliar to me? Or is it because I really needed to do this and it's time? You know, I will say with uncomfortable changes, like the one I obviously just have experience in is getting a divorce. My divorce episode is what got me on the map. It went viral. And so, of course, I kind of became an advocate or just a leader in that strange field. But people would always say, how did you know? How did you know when it was time to leave? And there's this thing where when people get divorced and they immediately start dating someone new, people just love to project and throw things and say, God, you just got divorced. Don't jump into another person. My son in the seventh house says, jump into another person. Because what people don't realize is a divorce doesn't just snap its fingers and happen and papers are signed and filed at the courthouse. It's not like that. When you're married to someone, you're committed to them in some shape, way, or form. And a divorce is years in the making. Years, truly. Even if it's just been in your thoughts, ruminating by itself, it's years in the making. And how do you know when it's time to finally just go get the dang papers and sign them? And I'm saying this as a metaphor for all changes in life. It is a feeling that you just know. And in those small moments of walking to your car, turning it on, putting it in reverse, driving down the road, pulling up to the courthouse, putting it in park, opening the front door, walking in and hearing your footsteps echo. In all of those small moments, there's not a single drop of doubt or regret or what am I doing? It feels right. And it's almost like there is this subtle force behind you, ushering you forward to do it. And it just feels good. Yeah. So if changes lately feel uncomfortable, is it because this healthy feeling that these changes provided is unfamiliar to me? How can I practice some more self-care to let the explosion of these changes just settle because I know that they're what's good for me? And then the last journal prompt I came up with was, if I had a magic wand to instantly rid something or someone out of my life right now, right this moment, bippity bobbity boo, what or who would it be? Again, if you had a magic wand that I gave you to instantly, at the tap of that wand, rid something or someone out of your life with no feelings hurt, no one has to say anything about it, who or what would it be? Now, let me take a sip of my tea because we are going to talk about how this eclipse axis of Taurus and Scorpio is affecting the collective as a whole. We talked about it individually, but how is it affecting the whole planet? I should really take a breathwork class. I get so excited when I talk that I forget to breathe. Join me. Take one deep breath with me. In through your nose. Hold it. Release. That felt good. Is my Taurus rising showing? Okay. The collective. Scorpio, Taurus, axis. So let's break it down. Taurus, what are they known for? Stubborn. They are known to be stubborn, set in their ways. I want the same latte every day. I want the same meal for breakfast. And if anybody tries to throw a wrench in that or take my pillow or my soft blanket or my side of the bed, they become assholes. Just royally. Do not mess with their routine and their things and their food. They get really stubborn with these things. So they're really set in their ways. That's the shadow side of Taurus. The evolved side of Taurus is they are the best people to be around because they feel like a warm cup of tea. They're so calm, patient, got a very soothing voice. That is always Pisces. I can pick out by their eyes. They're always so fish-like and just mesmerizing. Taurus, you can always pick out by their voice. I'm a Taurus rising, Jupiter in Taurus. I am your Taurus mama. And people always comment on my voice in the podcast reviews. You put my child to sleep. Thank you. I don't know if that's a compliment or what, but thank you. Sam Smith, the singer. Oh, his voice is like pudding. Adele, her voice is just, oh, I don't care what she's singing about. I will listen. Both Taurus sons. So the high side of Taurus is they are just earth fairies. They make you feel so grounded. And they rule food. Good, healthy food. Scorpio, they are not so stubborn, but they ask Taurus, why? Why do you grip so tightly to your belief? Why do you want to eat the same thing every single day? Scorpio says, hey, Taurus, why don't you switch sides in the bed? Why don't you want to sleep on the left instead of the right? Let's dive deep into that. What is the deeper meaning beneath keeping up with a routine and eating the same thing and wearing such comfortable clothes? Why are your senses, Taurus, so overstimulated? Scorpio picks and prods and pulls it out, whereas Taurus says, shut up. It is what it is. Let me live. Right? And that's kind of that low and the high side of Scorpio. They are the psychologists for us all. The high side of Scorpio, evolved side, is they are our shamans, our healers, because they can listen and watch us and pick out things in our psyche that we don't know are sabotaging us. But when Scorpio says, oh, I can see you've got a really deep mother wound, not a father wound. It shows in the way you speak to da-da-da-da-da-da, and you're blown away like, wow. You are incredible, Scorpio. But the low side of Scorpio, the shadow side, is they use this incredible psychological ability to have power over people. And they are the best manipulators and gaslighters because they study and analyze your body language, your words, how your eyes move when you speak. And they use that to their advantage. Whew, that's deep, huh? That's the eighth house. That's Scorpio. So Taurus is ruled by Venus, feminine, earthly, soft, beautiful. Scorpio's traditional ruler, now it's Pluto, but it's also Mars, masculine, war, fighting, uncomfortable. So with this Taurus-Scorpio axis eclipse, we are learning to balance our masculine and feminine. Ladies listening to this, 85% of my audience is women. Can I get an amen when I say, do you need help moving into your feminine? I think we all do, because the feminist movement kind of took off and kept going and going and going and going. And now we're like, wait, I wanted to do everything that a man could, but I'm now realizing that that's a little too much. Like, you know how so many women are afraid to admit, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. I would love to be a stay-at-home wife. because this feminist movement that we've that really helped us and is beautiful, I'm so appreciative for it, it just got a little out of control, has made us feel bad for wanting things like this. Like, that's embarrassing. That's, come on, girl, work towards something better. Be an entrepreneur while being a full-time mom homeschooling your kids. Like, what? That's insane. That's going to just pull your heart and your mind in opposite directions and cause hypothyroidism. The neck is between the head and the heart. If you're trying to do it all, be both strong, masculine, making a name for yourself, while also trying to be feminine, nurturing mother and attentive and present for your babies, be it fur babies or children, you're going to dry yourself out and get adrenal fatigue and hypothyroidism and sometimes autoimmunity because your body can't keep up with those polar opposite demands. So this is a collective feeling that we are learning to balance, and men are in this too. They are learning sometimes, you know, because women got so masculine, as a result, we've pushed men into their feminine. How many men are stuck in the, I don't know what I want to do. I don't have the motivation to get up and work on my physical body, or I don't have the motivation to ask for a raise or work my way up the ladder in a career I love. They don't have that because they too are feeling this and feeling like, well, what's my role? Now that women have taken over this masculine role, well, what's mine? Okay, I'm a stay-at-home dad, but why do I feel so empty? Well, I love my babies. I love tending to them and being a positive, present, masculine force in their lives, but this doesn't feel right to me, right? It's so messed up, and this is a collective feeling where we are just in this wonky space of, whoa, what are our roles now? And so Taurus is mine. Scorpio is ours. Scorpio loves to blend and share and bond with one person or with the collective as a whole. And so we are learning to share, not be so mine, mine, mine. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I want 5 homes. No, let's have one and then maybe put others for rent. Or you know what I'm trying to say? We are in this collective experience where it's mine versus ours and farm versus city. So mine versus our food supply system. This is ruled by Taurus. A lot of us are saying, you know what? I don't want to go to the freaking grocery store anymore because it's so expensive. I don't like going out and fighting all that, and especially with kids. I want to grow my own food. I want to at least have a little windowsill herb garden or like my little lettuce grow tower. I want to grow my own vegetables at home, save money, but also be in control of tending to the food I put in my body. Farm versus city. How many people have become work from home employees where they used to commute in a hectic, crazy city? And now they're like, well, wait, if I can work from home, I don't want to live in an apartment building stacked in a concrete jungle. I want to go out to the suburbs, or I want to go out to a tiny town with a small population and enjoy the stillness and the peace and quiet. Van life becoming so popular. Starting an Airbnb farm, huge, because I want to share what's mine with you. Scorpio versus Taurus. This is the axis that we're currently on. Scorpio loves social media because they can spy. They can keep tabs, see what's coming, figure out who you are so they can control you and have power. Social media algorithm, anyone? This is big Scorpio energy. And right now, Scorpio is our south node. And so this is the things we need to leave behind. No more spying, no more secrets, no more secret algorithms to push specific content onto people via social media to have power. Taurus says, whoa, social media is overstimulating. The north node is in Taurus. So this is what we want to move towards. Taurus says, social media moves away too fast for me. The internet is a cool job. I get to stay in my comfy clothes all day, but I want to work with my hands, touch the soil, grow my food, feel the breeze, hear the birds. And so we're having this conflicting period of, do I work for a controlling boss or do I work for myself helping the collective? Scorpio versus Taurus. And so some themes you may see collectively speaking with this portal that we are about to enter is, especially with Mars going retrograde in Gemini, oh baby, what's really going on with social media? It's already a topic of discussion is how come some of my reels get 1 million freaking views and others get 2,000? What is up with that? My content remains the same, yet some at certain times of the day and the week go take off and others flop. What's going on with this? Scorpio. And then some people are like, wait, social media is great, but I want to work in person. I want to work on the land. I was just telling JL, like, I love my job, but I'm on the computer all day and I work with so many cool people, but I don't get to touch them, smell them, see them, activate my senses and really bond with them in a deeper way. And he builds Sprinter vans all day. And I'm like, I would love to touch that wood and put a nail in it and then step back and look at this physical, tangible object that I built. I'm craving something like that. I'll put it out there in the ethers. Something that we're creating is a light workers lounge / cosmic coconut zodiac farm. We have big, big dreams for this. Don't even have the land yet, but we drew the blueprint. So step one completed. And now we're just going to take it easy. Think, look at land, dream some more during this eclipse season. And that's our goal. I want to build. I want to clean the Airbnb. I want to decorate it with my hands. So this is a collective feeling of I want to let go of social media and build tangible things. I don't want to live in the city and the hustle and bustle so much as I want to live on the outskirts and have peace and quiet. I want to create a life that is so rich and abundant and rewarding only to share it with everyone else. There's the collective feeling that we have. So, nice, good, deep breath. This was a good episode. I hope you guys learned a thing or two and you're not so afraid of this big eclipse tunnel. Remember, call it the rainbow slide. If you guys share this podcast on Instagram, say, I'm sliding down the rainbow slide. I am ready for this. I am not afraid. I am welcoming these changes. We are in a beautiful time where we have invented so many incredible things that we no longer have to be like our ancestors and afraid of the moon blocking the sun and vice versa. We can say, oh, what a cool chance to hit the reset button. Do a hard reset on my life where I know I needed this. I know I needed this hard reset in my marriage. I know I needed help clearing my subconscious thoughts that are sabotaging me. This is awesome. And I'm so excited for anything that is to come. Should it be something that is challenging and scary and makes me cry, I will accept it and reach out for support to my favorite astrologer Steph, to my friends, to my family, to internet forums and groups. I have support in the form of so many other people going through something else that they can empathize and sympathize with me that no matter what happens, I am okay. The rainbow slide delivers me to a life that I dream of in my sleep, and I'm willing to go through whatever it takes to end up on that dream, because dreams aren't planted in our heart to not bloom and blossom into reality. That's just not how it works. Happy eclipse season. I will be back. I've been loving recording for you guys multiple times a week. Thank you for spending time with me in your car, in your house. I always think, what are they doing while they're listening to this? Putting on makeup? Sitting in the bath? On an airplane? Looking down? Who knows? It's cool to imagine, though. Thank you for growing with me through all of my changes with my Scorpio moon and Taurus rising. Ooh, baby, bring on the changes. I'm excited for them. Of course, a little nervous, but super excited because it can only level up and upgrade from here. I will see you guys when I see you. Sending love from Colorado. Bye.